Good morning. Thank you, Jackson. Good morning. Please take your seats. We're getting ready to start. We'll give you a short countdown here. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. I was observing a student teacher this week, and it was a kindergarten classroom, and they were supposed to stand up, and this one little girl was still doing her thing, and the teacher says, "Okay, 5." And she says, "I don't need a countdown." So I'm hoping you don't need that much of a countdown. So this morning, let me pray. Oh, and I wanted to, I had a request that didn't get prayed for earlier, so I wanted to be sure and do that, and then I'll pray in. To the message. Father God, we lift up Mr. McKenzie to you, Lord, who has had skin cancer on his ear, and they're taking the bandages off tomorrow, Lord, and I pray your blessings on him as he recovers from his skin cancer, and knowing that you can help him get through that, Lord, and ask that you draw him closer to you. And also, we're thankful, Lord, that Araya came home on Friday, so that's a great praise. Thank you, Father. Now, Lord, as we turn to our time to hear and respond to a message from God's Word, I pray, Lord, that that it be you speaking through me, and I pray, God, that we will feel your presence here today. Thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're going to be talking today about Psalm 143, and it's a prayer of David. And when I was thinking about prayers, I thought about there was this pastor. Wasn't our pastor. He's not here, so I won't pretend it's him. But there's this pastor who he had two little kids, and he bought them this cute little kitten. And so he took the kitten home. The kids love the kitten. They, kitty, kitty, kitty. It's kitty this, kitty that. And they took it outside, and they were playing with this kitten, and they put her up in the low branch of the tree. Said, "Look, kitty, there's the tree." And the cat started climbing up the tree and going up out on, went way out on this skinny branch. And the kid said, "Come on down, kitty, come down." So the cat started to come down, and it slipped. And it grabbed onto the branch with its front claws and was holding on for dear life. But it was a little cat, a little bitty kitten, and he didn't have the strength to pull himself up. And so they're saying, "Daddy, daddy, the kitty's stuck in the tree." And the dad comes out, the pastor comes out, and he looks and he says, "Oh, what am I going to do?" They said, "Daddy, you have to do something." And he says, I've got an idea. He says, "I have a rope in the trunk of the car. And so I'll tie the rope around the tree and around the car, and I'll pull the car forward and bend the tree down, and then you can get the kitty off when the branch gets low enough." And so so he does that. He gets the rope, he ties it to the tree, he ties it to his car. He drives slowly, slowly, slowly. The tree starts to bend slowly down. The cat's getting lower and lower, and the kids are about to reach it. Suddenly, pop! The rope breaks. The tree goes boom like that, and the kitty goes to who knows where. The kitty's gone. And they were sad, and he said, "Don't worry, we'll get another kitty." And 2 weeks later, he's doing his regular rounds as a pastor. He's visiting members of the congregation, and he knocks on this one door, and this lady comes to the door. She says, "Oh, pastor, we're so glad you're here. Come in and have some coffee." And so he goes and sits down, and they're chatting, and this little kitten comes walking across the living room, and he says, he's thinking to himself, "That's our cat. That is our cat." But he didn't want to say that, you know, because, you know, that would be rude. And he says, "That's a lovely kitten you have there." And she says, "Oh, pastor, you wouldn't believe what happened." And she said, "My son, I was out in the garden. I was working in the garden. My son, Johnny, he said, 'Mommy, mommy, mommy, I want a cat.'" And she said, "No, Johnny, you can't have a cat." "Oh, mommy, I want a cat." "Johnny, you can't have a cat." "Mommy, mommy, mommy." She says, "Okay, fine. Johnny, sit down here, and we'll pray about it, and maybe God will drop a cat out of the sky." So they sat down, and they prayed. And she says, "Pastor, and you wouldn't believe what happened next." So it just goes to show you that when you pray, coincidences happen, right? So we're going to talk about Psalm 143 today. So let's go to the next slide, please, Jackson. Pastor Brandon has had a series of messages, Grace in the Eremos, that he's been talking through, and he's going through different ones of the Psalms. And he's using the penitential Psalms, which is fairly common for use during Lenten season. And these are the seven penitential Psalms that are typical for that. And he's been through a few of these. I remember particularly Psalm 51. That's the one where David, when David sinned with Bathsheba and just his remorse in that. And so those are all penitential psalms, basically cries for help and different things. And let's go to the next slide. So Brandon has also talking, Brandon has spoken about kind of a progression of, you know, the three R's of Lenten, which are reflection, repentance, and reconciliation, where something happens, maybe you sinned, maybe you need to acknowledge your sin, or there's some other thing where you need to go to God. Repentance, where you turn away from what you did and you seek God. And then reconciliation, where you actually renew your faith, commit to Christ. And so those three R's, it's a fairly succinct way of describing what he did. So let's go to the next slide, please. Today we're going to talk about Psalm 143, which is a psalm of David. And it is thought that this psalm was written when David was in dire circumstances. He was afraid and in hiding from his own son Absalom. And Absalom was pursuing him and wanting to take over his kingdom. And so how did that happen? If you look at the last several chapters of 2 Samuel, you can read all about it. But David had multiple wives and many sons and daughters. But David's household was filled with intrigue and drama. There was all kinds of stuff going on in David's household. And he wasn't that great of a father. Of course, we know about his sin with Bathsheba and all that happened with that. And at that time, it was prophesied by the prophet Nathan that he was going to have a lot of trouble, and he has had a lot of trouble. One of his sons, Absalom, he's described as being very handsome. He had a thick head of hair, long hair, very handsome, very charismatic, and he was one of David's many sons. And another one of David's sons, Amnon, kind of fell in love with Absalom's sister, and he had his way with her. And it was not, Absalom was furious about that. He was, he hated Amnon for that. David actually heard about it and then did nothing. He didn't do anything with Absalom. He didn't try to make it better at all. So after a couple of years of kind of waiting around, Absalom plotted and he killed Amnon. And then he fled Jerusalem because he'd killed one of the king's sons. And after maybe 3 years, he was exiled from Jerusalem, and he was gone. And then finally he returned. David allowed him to return to Jerusalem. And he said, "You can come in." But he didn't want to see him. He didn't want him to come in his presence. He didn't want to be around him at all. This doesn't make Absalom feel any better about anything. And so at one point, he decided he was going to take over David's throne. And he started doing things. He gathered all these people around him. He would say things like, "Oh, you know, if I was king, I could have solved that problem, or I would have done this if I was king." And then people started looking to him as maybe he would be a good king. And he started gathering up enough support. And David was a little oblivious to all of this stuff until Absalom's on his way into Jerusalem to take over the kingdom, and David hears about it, and then he flees. He has a few loyal people who go with him, but then he takes off, and he's in hiding. And so Absalom did take Jerusalem. He even slept with David's concubines in broad daylight. I mean, it was awful. It was all of the stuff that Nathan the prophet had prophesied from way back then. But eventually, Absalom's army had kind of pursued David, but eventually David was able to rally, and they defeated Absalom's army. And Absalom was riding on a mule, and he got his hair stuck in this tree when he went under the tree, and the mule took off, and he was hanging there. And he ended up getting killed by some of David's men, which enraged David. And so it was just a mess. It was just a mess. But in the midst of all of that, when David was in hiding and he was afraid, it's thought that he wrote Psalm 143, which we're going to read in a little bit, during David's severe trial. So let's go to the next slide, please. So why it happened? It was prophesied by Nathan. It happened because of his sin originally, although this wasn't a direct thing. It was kind of an indirect result of that. He was a failure as a father, which really stoked Absalom's anger. And Absalom was a man. He was greedy for power, and he wanted that. So all of those kind of things happened. So let's take a look at Psalm 143. Let's go to the next slide. Psalm 143, a psalm of David. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my pleas for mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me in your righteousness. Enter not into judgment with your servant, for no one living is righteous before you. And next slide. For the enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead. Therefore, my spirit faints within me. My heart within me is appalled. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Selah. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. I have fled to you for refuge. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. And in your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies, and you will destroy all the adversaries of my soul, for I am your servant. Okay, so these are going to be the main ideas for today. And I'm following the reflection, repentance, reconciliation outline that Brandon had talked about earlier. But the main ideas are, one, we all face trials. Two, sincere prayer is the way to respond. And three, that draws us closer to God. So let's go to the next slide. So have you experienced trouble? Have you faced problems in your life? Anybody face trouble in your life? Okay, if you haven't raised your hand, shame on you. I know you have. So a severe trial could be a lot of different things. It could be lots of different things. It could be losing a job, an accident, divorce, losing a loved one, addiction, incarceration, an accident, an illness, cancer, stroke, losing your hearing, losing your sight, a fire, a flood. A lot of us have been through those things, multiple things. And so if we go to the next slide, please. If you haven't faced severe trials, you will. It's guaranteed that you're going to have trouble. But you can be encouraged because Jesus said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, emphasis mine, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Okay? So we're going to have trouble. We know we're going to have trouble, but Jesus has overcome all of that for us. So let's go to the next slide, please. So a lot of times, our trials are the result of our folly or sin. If I start hanging out with the wrong people, I start making some bad choices, pretty soon I'm in trouble, right? That's going to happen. It's going to lead to bad times for me unless I change something about that. But that's not always the case. Sometimes bad stuff just happens. It just happens. Even if you're doing all the right things, bad stuff is going to happen. We see examples of this in the Bible. You think about the story of Job. Job was a pretty decent guy. And then what could go wrong did go wrong for him. And he had friends who tried to convince him, you must have done something wrong. You must have, you know, think back, you probably did something wrong. He didn't deserve it. And then Jesus gave another example. in John chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. It says, as he went along, he saw a man born blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? I thought that was kind of, how could he have sinned if he wasn't even born yet? Anyway, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Okay, so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Let's go to the next slide. I want to talk a little bit about my own experience. This picture is our family around Christmas time, 1980. The young man on the right there, that's Jeff with the mischievous grin. Mm-hmm. He had a lot of mischief in him. Jeff was probably about 4 years old here, maybe four and a half. The little bitty guy in the front in the middle, that's Robert, that's who is now taller than all of us. That beautiful brown-eyed girl there, that's Rose, of course. The goofy guy next to Rose, that's me. And the one in my lap, that's Carrie. That was our second son, Carrie. And when Carrie was born, it was not well with my soul. Carrie was born with a lot of problems. It's thought that he had a stroke when he was inside of Rose's womb. And he had one side, and they think that because we had one side that didn't develop. And you can't really tell it from here, but like that left eye of his, there's no eyeball in there. It's an orbit, but there's not an eye. We found out after he died that he didn't have a left kidney, so kind of the left side of his body didn't develop. And he had very severe brain damage. He had like a cyst that was growing on his brain that kind of pushed it all, and it was growing and kind of compressing everything, all of his brain matter. So he really had very little normal brain tissue. And I could go on and on about this story, but I'll try to make it fairly brief, because this was pivotal in my life and in hers. I was afraid. I was angry. I prayed, God, why did this happen? Why did you let this happen to us? Why did this happen to my son? We prayed for healing. We took him to healers, people who say, look, we can make one of your legs the same length as the other one, you know, like that kind of stuff. And you know, nothing changed. And they said, well, you need to have stronger faith. And so I tried to have stronger faith. And we had some great friends during that time who, one of the things that that they told us was, things like this will destroy your family. So turn toward each other and toward God to keep your family together. Because we still had Jeff to be concerned about. And so we did that. That was some of the best advice we've ever had. And I kept saying why, and one of my friends said, well, why not? You're asking the wrong question. You should say, why not? Why not you? If there's going to be a child like this in the world, why not put him in your family? Which really caused me to pause and think. And for me, one of the biggest lessons was, I was looking at him, and I was holding him in my arms, and I didn't hear a voice. I didn't hear an audible voice, but I knew God was telling me, love him the way he is. And that changed my life. When I realized that God was saying, this is my gift to you. And so we did. And the song that we sang earlier about It Is Well With My Soul, that song was really meaningful to me during this time, because it was not well with my soul until it was. So Carrie lived until he was about 4 years old. He died when he was four. But And we have so many stories we can tell you about that. It's just such a blessing for us. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. Anyway, so let's go to the next slide, please. So responding in prayer. David knew to respond in prayer. When he was in trouble, he went to God. I mean, you read all through the Psalms, all those Psalms that David prayed to God. He knew where to go because he'd been in lots of trouble before. And David's prayer in Psalm 143 is a model for us. It's heartfelt, it's humble, it's believing, and it's obedient to God's will. And so I want to talk about those things. Let's go to the next one. It was heartfelt because in verse 1, he's talking about his pleas for mercy. He's looking for mercy. Verse 3, he says, the enemy has pursued my soul, and he has crushed my life. So David's feeling this. My spirit faints within me. My spirit fails. Those are all in there. And you can tell that David really is feeling this. Let's go to the next slide. It was humble. He says, hear my prayer, O Lord. He's bowing before God. No one living is righteous before you. Ain't that the truth? We know that. He says, I stretch out my hands to you. Hide not your face from me. I have fled to you for refuge. David knew who he was, and he knew who God was. And he was humble before God. Let's go to the next slide. It was believing. He says, I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. In you I trust. He knows that the only respite he's going to get is going to come from God. He knows that. And so he sees it. Let's go to the next one. He's obedient to God's will. He says, make me know the way I should go, in verse 8. He says, teach me to do your will. He wants to be obedient to God's will. Let your good spirit lead me, for I am your servant. So David, he knew where to go, and he knew how to go in this way. So let's go to the next slide. So what's the result of a heartfelt prayer? The heartfelt prayer helps, you know, God answers our prayers. And if you think about it, that's good and right that God would answer our prayers. But when we pray, it reminds us that God's the only one worthy of glory and praise. So when we pray to God, we lift something up to God, we know that he can do something about that and is right, and it's good for us to pray for everything, small or big. We need to ask him to help us overcome the obstacles. But the greater benefit of prayer is the fact that they draw us closer to God. Because when you pray, you're going to the one who can do it. When you pray, you're pleading to God. He's the one who can answer your prayers. And the real benefit is you're drawing closer to him. That's the real benefit of that. So I want to talk about some answers. Let's go to the next page. Did I say that already? Yeah. Oh, yeah. So answers to prayer. So sometimes the answers are a resounding yes. Sometimes they're a resounding no. Sometimes it's a not yet. And sometimes I had something else in mind for you. Right? So there are a lot of ways that God answers our prayers, but he does answer our prayers. And I want to talk about some of the answers to my prayers. Let's go to the next one, please. First one I want to talk about is the red van. The red van. Many years ago, I don't know if you remember this, John, when we were getting ready to go to Mexico with a bunch of kids, Mark went with us that trip too, and we had a need for more transportation. We had all these kids going, but we needed another van. And so we said, well, let's pray for transportation. So we started praying, and I think that the pastor had said something on Sunday about praying specifically and stuff like that. So we started praying for another van, and I said, in the prayer, I said, Lord, make it be a red van with a CD player. Now, this was back in the day. This was like right after the covered wagons, right? And we didn't have a lot of streaming music and stuff like we have now. So a CD player, that was kind of top of the line, right? And so I prayed for a red van with a CD player. Within a week, I got a call from my friend We said, hey, George, I heard you guys are going to Mexico. Yeah, we're going. He says, do you need a van? I said, yeah, we need a van. And he says, I got one you can use. So I went over to take a look at his van. Guess what? Red van, CD player. Rock and roll, you know. Very specific answer to a very specific prayer. That was a resounding yes, you can have this. Now, the van didn't make it all the way back, but that's a different story. And my friend still is my friend today. Another one that is my job change. I was in IT management for 25 years, basically with the same company. They sold us to another company, but it's the same. Basically, we were doing the same things. And that job ended for me. That career ended for me. And so I was looking for IT management jobs because that's what I was used to, that's what I did, that's what I knew. I had some success there, so I wanted to keep doing with that. And every job interview, I applied for a lot of jobs, and I was always second choice. You know, oh, man, we like you a lot, but, you know, we hired this other guy. And so my wife had said, well, why don't you substitute teach while you're looking for your job? And I said, well, I'll do that, but I'm not going to be a teacher. And God had other plans, and I became a teacher. I taught for 15 years, and I loved that. I loved being a teacher. And so God has a way of changing our minds. So that was kind of now I have something else in mind for you. And then, of course, prayer for healing for my son. God said, no, not going to heal your son. And that's okay. Those were all good things. And all of those things drew me closer to God. So prayer draws you closer to God. It does. So our next slide. God answered David's prayers. His enemies were defeated, although his son died. His kingdom was restored. But David had trouble really all the rest of his life. He had problems when he was old and all of that. But God heard him and rescued him. God heard him and answered his prayers. So we go to the next slide. So I want to be sure that you know that you can trust God, because God loves you. And sin does have consequences. Right? If you do something, you know, you may have to do the time. You may still have to do the time. But that doesn't mean God's not going to get you through it. He's still going to get you through it. Your life might be difficult, but God's still going to get you through that. Paul, we read where Paul prayed for the removal of a thorn in the flesh. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. So Paul lived with that. He learned to go with that. His grace was sufficient. And even Jesus prayed in the garden. He said, God, if you would take this cup from me, but not my will, God, but yours. Right? So we have to remember, God's in charge. Right? He's the one in charge. And the things that happen to you in your life are going to happen, but God can get you through that. He can take you through those things. So let's look at the next slide. So these were the main ideas today we talked about. We all face trials. It gives us time to reflect on what's going on. Our sincere prayer is the way to respond. That's our repentance. We pray to God. And then that draws us closer to God. That's the reconciliation part of what we're doing here. So let's go to the next slide. So here's some questions that maybe you can discuss with your friends when you go to the Mandarin House for lunch or wherever you go, you know. How can you encourage someone who turns away from God in times of trial? Because people do that. People do that. When we pray in faith, does it mean that God will deliver us from trial or that God can deliver us? Okay? Interesting distinction there. How have you come to know God better through your trials? I know all of you have had trials, and God has helped you through those trials. Okay? And so let's go to the next slide. In case you thought I was finished, I'm not. Okay? I had one other thing that I wanted to talk about here. There's a verse, 143:8 in Psalm 143, that I just love. It says, "Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul." A few years ago, I started memorizing scripture. I set a goal to memorize, you know, for the first year it was like one verse every month, and then I started memorizing, you know, in Matthew I was going to memorize the Beatitudes. I ended up memorizing all of the Sermon on the Mount, and so now I'm working on Philippians, almost done with Philippians. So, but I think memorizing scripture is really important. Now, a lot of you are thinking, I'm too old to memorize anything. And I tell you what, I can't remember what happened yesterday, but I can memorize scripture. And so I have a challenge for you. This is my challenge for you. This verse, if you will memorize this verse, I will buy you a cup of coffee or a cup of tea or whatever you know you want. I'll buy you something. If you memorize this verse, okay, if you want. If you memorize this verse and you recite it to me next Sunday, and some of you already have this memorized. I know, I think, Patricia, you told me this was one of your life verses. Speaking of life verses, Greg was going to select a life verse from Ecclesiastes last week, and you better check him on that because, you know, you want to be sure that he doesn't really make that his life verse, okay? So, but, and I'm not going to say what it is, Greg, but if you want to memorize a verse, this is a great one. And it, like I do my prayer time, my quiet time in the mornings usually, and so this is perfect for my morning prayers. And you don't have to be in a time of trouble to pray this, like David was, but you also can help in your time of trouble. So if you recite this to me next week, I owe you a coffee or whatever. So next slide, please. In conclusion, in your desperate times, remember to seek God and to know that he loves you and is with you. Thank you for paying attention today. Thank you. And I will pray, and our worship team will come forward and close us out. Father God, we love you, and we thank you for this beautiful day. And Lord, I especially thank you for these beautiful people who are gathered here in your name. And Father, as we go this week, help us to remember and help us to seek you. And when we're going through things, Father, help us to seek you. And we're not going through things, help us to seek you and to draw closer to you. Thank you, God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.